Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This section of Genesis that we are using as the text for our meditation this morning is probably one of the weirdest stories in the Bible. That of Jacob engaged in this all-night wrestling match with God. And that's saying something. Because there are a lot of downright weird stories in the Bible. But the image of Jacob engaged in this WWE smackdown with God throughout the night. And then the news that God in his human form could not overpower Jacob, so he used his God powers to wrench Jacob's hip out of joint, which, by the way, to me kind of seems like cheating in the wrestling match, is just about as strange as it gets. It's both a strange event and a strange story. But it's significant, and it's telling in light of both Jacob's history and his name change, also in view of his future. His meaning that of himself and also his descendants. Jacob's life was one of wrestling with God. And the future of the children of Israel, their lives would be one of wrestling with God also. But if they would hang on to him and never let go of him, no matter what the battle or injustice or situation they faced, they would receive God's blessings. Some years later, Jacob's son, Joseph, would wrestle with God as he was betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, seduced by Potiphar's wife, and finally locked up in jail. But through it all, Joseph would not let go of God. And God finally blessed him. Freed him from prison, made him the second in charge of all of Egypt, and used him to spare and save the lives of his brothers and sisters. The Lord's servant, Job, wrestled with God. He couldn't understand why God would allow his livestock to be stolen, his house to be destroyed, his children to be killed, and his own body to be stricken with painful sores, especially since he was a God-fearing and upright man. And though even his own wife told him to curse God and die, yet Job held on to God. He wouldn't let go. And he spoke those amazing words of faith. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. And the scriptures say that the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. David knew something about wrestling with God also. As he hid from King Saul, fled from his son Absalom, and repented before God's prophet Nathan. Yet in the midst of his trials and tribulations, his sins and his shortcomings, David always hung on to God and would not let go of him. He trusted in God for his deliverance. And thus God called David a man after his own heart. The only person in Scripture ever called that. And he blessed David beyond measure. So what is it that you have been wrestling with God over? An unfulfilling marriage? Singlehood? Loneliness? An addiction? A loss in your life? A need for clarity? A need for direction? An end to the chaos? Some sense of hope? We've all got something. And if somehow, right now, you don't, wait a few days or weeks, you will. That's the nature of living in a fallen world. That's the nature of being a child of God. Jesus said that we would have trouble in this world. And thus we're all going to experience a variety of things in our lives that give us ample reason to wrestle with God. But Jesus also said that we should take heart because he has overcome the world. So yes, we will have trouble like Job. And yes, we will make mistakes like David. And yes, we will wrestle with God like Jacob. But like all of them, we should continue to hold on to God. Never let go. Because he has overcome the world and he will ultimately bless us. In Revelation, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." In other words, hang on to Jesus. Don't ever let go of him. And he will bless you, and he will give you everlasting life. He's already overcome the world through his death on the cross, through his resurrection from the grave. He's already given us the gift, that great blessing of God's forgiveness. He's already gone into heaven to prepare a place for us in his Father's heavenly kingdom. So don't let go of him. Don't ever let go of him. The temptation, I know, in the midst of the trials, as the long night of wrestling with God wears on, and sometimes it seems like God's not playing fair as you suffer through one loss after another, the temptation finally is just to give up. To let go, to walk away. That was the case with many of Jesus' followers in the Scriptures, especially in John chapter 6. And after many of his followers turned away from him and no longer followed him, he turned to his 12 disciples and he said, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" And Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so Peter, like Jacob and Job and David before him, hung on to his Savior and would not let go, even to the point of death, even to the point, as tradition holds it, to being crucified on a cross upside down. And thus we know that God will bless Peter with the crown of everlasting life. And so God will bless you with that gift also. if you just continue to hold on to Jesus. Never let go. Hold on no matter what life and or Satan throws at you. Hold on to the storms. Hold on to the dark, lonely night. And you will most certainly, and you will ultimately, and you will finally be blessed. A number of years ago, the NRA, in their fight to maintain their Second Amendment rights, popularized a slogan that was on a number of bumper stickers. Some of you may remember it. The slogan stated, "I'll give you my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands." I would hope and I would pray that we might each have the faith to say that same thing about our Lord. "I'll let go of Jesus when you pry him from my cold, dead hands." Don't let go. Don't ever let go. And you will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen.